Welcome to Bethlehem. And it's a sunny morning, but it's got a cold wind. I always leave a gap in case so I can tell you just what the weather's like if you didn't know yourself. Anyway, welcome to any visitors. I don't think we have them, and very warm welcome to Martin Delap, who's going to be preaching this morning. I think we all know, but tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service, and we hope that many of you will be able to join us. And prayer will be available after the service. Please remain in your seat, or you can come forward, and someone will come alongside you to pray. And so please would everyone else go across to the hall quietly to continue fellowship. Heather won't be with us today, but she sent us some good news that Derek is back home. And Derek has sent a message to us thanking us for the card from Bethlehem that was sent to him in hospital. He was very insistent that we should thank you all. I think you might, if you've read in your notices, Heidi Senior isn't feeling well enough to come to church today, but please keep her in your prayers and maybe give her a call. Details are in the notices about numbers and so forth and good times to ring. Tomorrow morning is Mike Rossiter's funeral at Baptist Church in Vauxhall Street, and that's at 10:30. And I know you can see today quite a number of people are away who might have liked to attend, but our thoughts and prayers will be with Mike's wife, Jenny. So thank you to Sheila and our singers who came to the music practice, Ali on computer back there, and Glenys, our steward, and our Bible readers and reader, Joan, and welcomers. So next week it will be all together worship led by Helen Higginson. Now we have a birthday that we know about, and it's Barbara Beeson. Ooh, she looks surprised. I shouldn't be, you shouldn't be. That's this week. Is there any other birthdays we don't know about? I don't think there will be. So here we go. Lord, we come because you have made us, and we come because in Christ we have been made new. We come because you have given us life. We come because through the risen Christ we have received new life. We come as your sons and daughters to be filled with the Spirit, to hear your promise of eternal life, to worship and be sent out for your glory. Amen. And our first song is Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. Please take your seats. Let us pray. A prayer of praise and adoration. Father, we praise you for every opportunity we are given to meet together for worship, fellowship, and praise. We praise you for your promise that whenever we meet in the name of Christ, you will be in the midst of us, and that your almighty presence will make us whole. We praise you for the way you came to the disciples when they most needed your presence and when they least expected it, when they had locked themselves in behind the closed door of the upper room, you came and gave them peace. When they walked on the road to Emmaus, you came and gave them burning hearts in place of their despair. When they returned to their fishing, uncertain of what the future held, you came and shared their meal. Father, we praise you for your promise to be with us always, even to the end and beyond. We praise you for those times when we have been lost and alone, and when we have been uncertain and afraid, when we have felt imprisoned and filled with despair, and you have come to us. You have come when we most needed your presence and when we least expected it. You have come and given us new hope, peace, and joy. You have not promised that you will always remove every problem or take away every pain, but you have promised to be with us and to share our journey of life and faith, and for this we praise you. We praise you for the new life that Christ has made possible and for his coming to live in our hearts and lives. We ask that you will so fill us with the Holy Spirit that our worship may be worthy of you, filled with power, and may bring you glory. Amen. And the next one is a prayer of thanksgiving. The risen Christ, our reason for worship. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of your world and for the life you have given us, for the beauty and wonder of all your creation, and that we have a chance to discover and enjoy it. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, for his life and his ministry on earth, for his teaching about your kingdom, and for his stories that made your love real. We praise you for his death for us in our place as our Saviour, and for his rising again as our Lord. We thank you that we can come on the first day of the week and celebrate again his mighty resurrection. Father, it is because of Christ that we have come. It is because of what he has done that we can come into your almighty presence. He has opened the way into life that is real and into knowing you as our Father. Enable us not only to thank you, but by your grace, to live thankful lives. Through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen. And I think we're singing again, Colours of Day. Please take your, have taken your seats. It's now time for our reading. Thank you. Thank you, Joan.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way. Sorry about that. And how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
We have a prayer of confession. It's headed "Falling Short." Lord, we confess your right to exercise your sovereignty over the whole of your creation and over every part of our lives. But from the very beginning, we have used our free will to please ourselves and not you, to live for our own ends and not for yours, and to spoil our relationship with you and with each other. We also confess that we have fallen short of living lives that bring you glory. There is no way that in our own strength we can put our world or our lives in order again. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, forgive us, cleanse and renew all things for the glory of your name. Amen. And we're singing again. It's "Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord." Now, can I ask you coming up, Martin, to come up? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doreen, and to all those who've led our beginning of our worship. So, good morning to you all. It is lovely to be sharing worship with you once again, especially on a sunny day. It's nice always to see the sun shining. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be always accepted in your sight, Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. So the Easter period takes us through a roller coaster of emotions, and it mirrors the ones I think the disciples went through. There was that euphoria of Palm Sunday. There was Passion Week, where Jesus angered the authorities. There was the betrayal, the trial. People shouting for Pilate to crucify Jesus. And then there was, of course, the final blow. Jesus crucified. Talk about kicking people when they're down. What now? Well, picture how we feel after any monumental moment in our lives. There are often emotional highs or lows. My wife's parents remembered the liberation that we'll celebrate in a few weeks' time. For me, that Second World War was beyond my comprehension. But I still clearly remember early in the 1990s when the Berlin Wall came down. There was euphoria, celebrations, people dancing all night for joy, freedom, a new world order, peace. There'll be no more war in Europe, they said. Not at the time did anyone pay attention to the prophets of doom. And since that high of that no more war in Europe, we saw Yugoslavia self-destruct. Then we thought the wars in Croatia and Bosnia and Kosovo would be the last we saw in Europe. Jane and I went on holiday to Croatia over the summer. And perhaps the most poignant reminder to me was the sight of a small cottage in a beautiful little village. But it was a cottage derelict, bullet holes ridden through it, rotting doors and windows. We now have scenes from Ukraine. And in the wider world, violence in the US-Israel war with Iran. We suffer as people ups and downs of emotions. We get excited about the prospect of the future, and then we come down to earth with a bump. And so too did the followers of Christ after the crucifixion. The entry into Jerusalem had been the high point, and then it was all apparently downhill. From the throwing out of the traders in the temple to Jesus' ultimate crucifixion. And yet we have the resurrection to hold on to. We know what happened. We have the ending. We know what happened on the Emmaus Road. So let's look at what we learn from that. The followers of Christ were walking away after that big event. They were like the time when we discovered that there were more wars in Europe. Life seems to have no purpose, no meaning to them. They had no explanation for what happened. They'd seen Christ crucified on the cross, and to them at that time the story was over. Think not of what we know of the resurrection, but how they felt on that day, at that time. All their hopes and dreams shattered on the cross. The Messiah, the Saviour, crucified. Verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. Had hoped. Gone, past. Dreams broken into a million pieces. Where were they to go now? They couldn't explain the events of the last week. But the events on that Emmaus Road tell us an awful lot. They tell us of the concern of God for his people, his concern for us now. Jesus could have left those followers to drift on into the sunset, walk away beyond the horizon, confused and bewildered. Yet we see that God is not like that. Christ was sent by God to the people. And by his appearance on the Emmaus Road, we see that God is with us. The crucifixion was not the end, but the beginning. Emmanuel, God with us. How do we know people care for us? Is it by what they say or by what they do? Is it simply by their presence? We know people are concerned for us when they're there for us. That if there are problems, they are there to help. That it matters how we are feeling. And that's reminiscent of the Emmaus Road. The followers were despondent, didn't know what to do. Yet Christ walked with them, went alongside them, talked to them. On the Emmaus Road, God comforts his followers and shows his concern and love. And he shows his concern and love for us. For our Easter message, isn't the crucifixion is a historic event about one man's death? It's the starting point of our relationship with God. God with us, here and now. He didn't leave them on a gloomy road. Jesus didn't leave them to suffer, unaware of what was to happen. He came to his followers and talked to them, helped them through their pain and suffering, to come to terms with what had happened. The Emmaus Road is very much about that Christmas experience. God with us. But it's more than that. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if to go further. But he urged them strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." Although Jesus walked with the disciples, he didn't invite himself to stay with them. He was present, yet he was preparing to go onward. Acted as if to go further. He didn't force himself on the followers. He was there, willing to support them. But they had to open themselves to him. They had to welcome the stranger. And so I believe it's the same with us. Jesus is there if we accept him, if we invite him into our lives. I recall the parable of the prodigal son. The son went away, yet the father was always there. The prodigal son was always his son, and all he had to do was return to his father. As my two boys, Peter and James, have gone through their teenage years, I've learned a lot more about the father in the prodigal son story. We've learned more about patience and simply being there than I thought was ever possible. God calls out to us, is there for us, yet it's up to us to respond. We can choose to accept or reject him, but we must make that move of accepting him, just as the disciples on the Emmaus Road had to accept the stranger in their midst. But we must be aware. We must freely accept him, just as Christ died on the cross freely for us. It's not because we ought to praise God. It's not because we feel compelled for Christ to be with us. It's because he loves us first. When we accept God into our lives, we accept him freely and openly. That's the bit we find hard. In my university days, I shared a house with one of my college friends. And I have to admit, when it came to doing the gardening or cleaning the house, there was always a bit of a trade-off. You know, I'll clean the bathroom if you mow the lawn. Okay, but you have to clean the kitchen. But that assumes you rake up the grass after mowing the lawn. Fine, but if you finish before me, you have to sort out the papers. We have a tendency to build deals into our relationships. And if we're not careful, we find our relationship with God a bit like that. We start to attach strings and conditions, confine God to what we can control, to what we want him to tell us to do. If you cast your minds back, perhaps many years, to being at school, what's the one phrase almost every child says at some point? If you do that, I'll be your best friend. We know they have a lot to learn about love for other people and relationships. Yet what we have to do is come to terms with ourselves, to face the reality of our lives. God is with us here and now. We're not alone. But we need to respond with unconditional love to that unconditional love. What the disciples learned on the Emmaus Road was that God was there alongside them. He doesn't try to control us. He walks with us, alongside us, shares our pain, shares our joy, waiting for us to accept him, for us to make that move. And that brings me to my final point about the Emmaus Road experience. God is with us, alongside us. We accept him or not. But listen again. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if to go further. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it's evening, the day is almost over." But then when they recognized Christ, they went back to Jerusalem. Not tomorrow, but later that evening, now. Immediately they went back to Jerusalem. There's urgency about the issue. There's a choice to be made. Accept Jesus or don't accept him. Accept him now and then respond now. The Emmaus Road tells us of that immediacy of God. And that's something I think we sometimes lack. We lose that enthusiasm for God, that enthusiasm of what we see on the Emmaus Road. They saw Christ and were overjoyed. But they didn't sit there and talk at length about their experience. They didn't decide, we'll stay here tonight and chat for a while and have a cup of tea and saunter back to Jerusalem tomorrow. They had to share the good news. And they had to share it now. They returned to Jerusalem immediately. They had to see the other disciples and tell them about their experience. Tell them that Christ was with them. I know I have a tendency to sit and let the world float by, to let things drift along, and only once in a while allow myself to be struck by the overwhelming power of God. But it doesn't have to be like that. The Emmaus Road shows us another way forward. It tells us of Christ's love, that he's with us. That we don't have to stand and preach at people. We don't have to go to work every day, interrogate everyone about their faith and call it evangelism. We simply show our love and our faith through being with people. Through finding God at work through his Spirit in the world. Through sharing our experience of joy, our experience of suffering, and show people of God's love alongside us. What the Emmaus Road tells us is that whenever opportunities arise, we have to seize those opportunities. To recognize a situation and respond in the way that God responds to us. God with us. So the Emmaus Road. I think there are just three things. God with us in everything. God giving us the choice to go with him. And God calling us to respond here and now. Go out, meet the world. That's the message the Emmaus Road experience has for us. It's the realization of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Our next hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise, as we respond to God's message with praise and thanksgiving. We come now to our time of prayers of intercession, where we pray for the world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come in stillness to seek you. We pause now to review in our minds the week that has passed. And as we do so, we ask you to show us where you were present. Perhaps we didn't notice you at the time, but we can see you now as we remember the events of the past week, the points where you touched our lives. Lord, we rejoice that you were there with us every step of the way, even if we couldn't see you. You were there in the moments of pain and sorrow, as well as joy and fun. We thank you that you are always present, whatever our circumstances. Whether we can feel your presence or not, you walk with us. And as we go into a new week, help us to look more closely for your presence in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you're with us in all the tiny details of our lives. You are there in the important moments. You are there in the seemingly trivial moments. And we bring to you now the moments for this, our island, in the coming week. The events that will happen. The people we will meet. The places we will go. We remember Derek and Heidi, who are unwell at the moment. Lord, we ask that in all that we do, we recognise that you are with us, that we can comfort one another simply by being with one another. Be with us as we have a real sense of your love and care, and the care and love of this, your fellowship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you are here in Jersey, in this, our island, and you are there in the big events in the world. We bring to you now the places and people who've made the headlines this week. We lift the nations of Iran, USA, and Israel to you. We continue to remember the Ukraine, the Yemen, the areas where there is trouble and strife in the world, Syria, Afghanistan. Lord, you see all these places, even when they're out of the news. Help us to pray for peace, but to act for peace with one another. To show tolerance and understanding to each and every person we meet. to those with whom we agree and those we disagree. Help us to do so with the sense of love and compassion you have for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who need a sign of your presence with them this week. We lift to you our young people who go back to school. For all those who are preparing for exams this term. For pupils, for students, for teachers. We pray for all those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. For those who are anxious about the weeks ahead. We ask for your comforting presence. We pray for the lonely, the isolated, and the housebound. For all who are carers, paid or unpaid, known or unknown. And we pray for those who are sorrowful today. Help them to know that your resurrection means there is hope for the future. For you are with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we turn to the week ahead of us. We know, Lord, you are already going before us, and we thank you that you're preparing our way. Show us how to be evangelists to the world. Wherever we go, that others may see your reality through us. We commit the new week to you, asking that you help see us at every turn. Forgive us when we fall from the path. Guide us forward in all the new wonders that will greet us in the hope you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be with us, Lord, this week. Lead us ever onwards into your light. Walk with us on our Emmaus road. Help us not to be despondent, but to be ignited by that spark of excitement, of wonder that the disciples felt in your presence. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forevermore. Amen. We now take up the offering for the work of the church. our closing hymn this morning, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.